Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nats fans, 130 is yours. Berries for Luga of the Washington Post at that time. We're also going to have a brand new DC Quick Pitch available for you. That's a podcast me and Danny do each and every week solely on the Nationals, just in case you don't get your fix to the extent that you'd like during our normal show. As we welcome you back on Grant and Danny, we go to the hotline. Will Brinson, CBS Sports. It's the Eye on NFL blog. We love bouncing around the league with him. Well, let's start with Ezekiel Elliott. How do you think this plays out? Does he indeed miss weeks 2 through 7 with a 6-game suspension?
What's up, guys? I am a formerly certified paralegal, so I'm really qualified to answer this question. My initial thought was that Zeke Elliott would end up, because what happened late last night with the NFL filing their own lawsuit in New York District Court, that was so much going on between these two courts and the judges and the temporary restraining order and the injunction request and all the concerns with the arbitration hearing coming in late, that it might result in the courts basically saying, let's hit the pause button. You know, let's push it. Let's kick this can down the road. We don't want Zeke to miss any games because that's irreparable damage. Like, they can never get those games back. But talking to a labor lawyer that I know who's based out of D.C., a great labor lawyer, tremendous labor lawyer. I've actually got a story with Tom on CBSSports.com, but he doesn't think that'll be the case. He thinks the judges will be able to handle this. This is what they get paid for. And so it's very possible with this, with the NFL allowing Elliott to play in week one, that if he isn't going to lose the injunction, that he'll lose it and he'll end up being suspended weeks 2 through 7, I guess, would be the suspension, unless it's actually 2 through 8, I guess, because of the bye week.
Well, when the public was concerned about whether or not Brady and or his aides or whoever did something to the footballs, that's what, like, everybody was debating. What the court stuff was, to me, and maybe you read it differently because and you're smarter than I am, but what the court stuff was, basically the NFLPA saying he can't do this, talking about Goodell, and the court ultimately saying, actually, yes, he can. You guys agreed to it. How similar is this to that? Not in terms of the offense, obviously. We know that one is more dramatic than the other in terms of our society and repercussions and so on. But isn't this a similar thing where the NFLPA is basically saying, not so fast, NFL, and then the judge ultimately, whoever it ends up being, is going to say, well, actually, yeah, you guys agreed to this.
Sort of, but not exactly. And this is why Jeffrey Kessler makes more money than the three of us combined times
sure.
50. Actually, probably more than that. But the deal is, Jeffrey Kessler understands, the NFLPA attorneys understand, that they went and tried to sue based on the fact that Roger Goodell doesn't have that power, it would get overturned in a heartbeat because of the precedent set by the Brady case. So instead, what they've gone to do is said that, A, that the NFL is in a conspiracy or committed a conspiracy against Zeke Elliott, and B, that the NFL violated the fair procedure. You know, it wasn't a fair appeal hearing because Zeke Elliott was not allowed to confront his accuser. The accuser was not compelled to testify. Roger Goodell, not compelled to testify. Lead investigator, not compelled to testify. So it is similar in the sense that the NFLPA is challenging the NFL, but they are not challenging Roger Goodell's power. They know they've lost that one. It does challenge it sort of like a side door to challenge it, but they're ultimately saying this is not a fair process, and that's why Ezekiel Elliott is unfairly suspended, not that Roger Goodell is unfairly suspending Zeke Elliott, if that makes sense. It's a little nuanced, I guess. But you know, if you go and you say, hey, look, you can't suspend him for the same reason you couldn't suspend Brady, the court would immediately flip it right back in their face and say, nah, dude, I mean, there's a precedent here. You're wasting everyone's time.
Well, I'm guessing you watched Hard Knocks, correct?
Yeah, although I didn't watch last night because I was up writing over-under totals for every single NFL team and reading another lawsuit. So, but I was going to watch it tonight.
All right, well, you're slacking a little bit. But I love Dirk Cutter. I really liked him. I love Jameis Winston, and I'm in on the Bucks right now. They now will not get a bye week. They're not going to play in week one, so they'll play weeks 2 through 17 uninterrupted, 16 straight games. How much will that hurt them? And am I high on them just because they're the team on Hard Knocks?
It hurts them a ton. I mean, this is the big losers. And look, obviously, everyone in Florida needs to be safe. We're concerned more about Florida and the health of everybody and safety of everybody than football. But we're talking football. So the big losers here are the Dolphins, the Buccaneers, and the Chargers. The Chargers now have to play the Dolphins in week two in L.A. after the Dolphins get an extra week one bye. The Buccaneers should be nonplussed about this because instead of having this week one game in Miami where it's a short trip, you're just going from Tampa to Miami, you get to kick off your season maybe with a win against the Dolphins, you now play 16 straight games. And they don't have as hard a road as the Dolphins do over those 16 games. Miami from week 8 on is brutal. But certainly Tampa Bay is now severely dinged by not having that late season bye week. You know, oddly enough, guys, I think at least now you're going to get Doug Martin's going to be fresher, you know, down the stretch because he's going to end up missing the first 4 weeks of the season. I would guess that the Buccaneers are not thrilled about it, but what can you say? You know, you can't, well, how are you going to ruin our, you know, it'd be like somebody complaining about Jay Ajayi not starting for them, their fantasy team in week one. But Grant, I don't think it's crazy to be high on the Bucs. I like them a lot. I think you guys should know as well as anybody that when you look at the deep passing statistics in the NFL from 2016, that one Kirk Cousins is real high up there and that the leader, according to Pro Football Focus, the leader in most yards gained on passes 20 yards or more down the field is DeSean Jackson last year. Now D-Jax leaves and he goes to a place in Tampa Bay where they like to chunk the ball deep. Jameis Winston, not afraid to uncork it, has a big, strong arm, but wasn't very accurate with his deep ball last year. I think DeSean Jackson cranks up his accuracy, cranks up his deep ball percentage, frees up some space for Mike Evans. Cameron Brate is criminally underrated there. O.J. Howard is a good blocker, doesn't need to come in and be a great receiver right away. And that defense is better than people think. Mike Smith had him kind of dialed in down the stretch last year as they've gotten away from the Tampa 2 personnel and sort of gotten their guys in there. I think Tampa is a viable contender in the NFC South. And I think Jameis Winston is a decent little sleeper for the MVP award.
At Will Brinson on Twitter, great follow if you value NFL information and discussion. Well, let me go to the AFC West real quick. I think that's the best division in the sport. And I know we're supposed to say NFC East here because that's what everyone is supposed to say. But I look at four teams. San Diego, just the unluckiest group of men that have ever gotten together in one single season. Should have been 10-6 probably. Ended up at 5-11. The other three teams all over 500. I think Denver is screwing the pooch here. As much as John Elway gets lauded, and he should, but to me, they are squandering what is a great cast of characters with poor to mediocre at best quarterback play. If you transplanted 20 different guys there instead of Trevor Siemian, I think that'd be a 12-win team and a Super Bowl contender. As it is, I don't think they get out of their own division.
Yeah, I think I've got Denver finishing last in that division, which means they'll probably win it. But you look at the quarterback situation and really just sort of the whole offensive evaluation. You know, I mean, John Elway won a Super Bowl, as a player and won as a GM. So you're not going to give him too much guff. I mean, he's locked in with the Broncos. He won, won Super Bowl 50, orchestrating a great, like you said, cast of characters. But I do think when you have a defense that is as special as Denver's has been and could be again this year, that to sort of waste it with an offense that is just not that impressive is certainly questionable. Now, I think we'll see a pretty good season from Trevor Siemian relative to expectations. Demaryius Thomas is really consistent. Emmanuel Sanders, underrated. C.J. Anderson running well this year early on. D'Angelo Henderson is really, really explosive, like that young kid. And I think it can be an interesting offense. But to me, given what Oakland has on offense and their upside on defense, which I don't think will show up, but they have the upside, given that I'm real high on the Chargers this year, I think Phillip Rivers has a monster season, I think Joey Bosa is defensive player of the year when it's all said and done, and given the consistency of the Chiefs, it's just hard to picture the Broncos, ending up in the playoffs. And the one other thing with Denver, too, last year they were secretly bad against the run. And you can't have a great defense if you can't stop the run. And you worry about them, especially, in that division with some good running backs. Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt, I think, is going to be a nice young running back. And then, of course, Marshawn Lynch. If they struggle to stop the run, I think they're going to struggle as a defense as a whole. and the offense isn't there to necessarily pick him back up.
What's your gut feel on the Skins?
I think it's like 8-8, and I think they need a lot to happen. I think they need a lot to happen on against the other teams to win the division or to get in the playoffs. You know, I think the Zeke Elliott needs to miss 7 full weeks, and Dak needs to regress, and Eli's line needs to be terrible, and Carson Wentz needs to not be as good as I think he can be for Washington to really have a chance, because I think they're going to come out a little slow. I'm not basing that necessarily on the preseason so much as the transition with Gruden, you know, with Terrell Pryor. You lose D-Jax, you lose Pierre Garçon, Sean McVay gone. I just think there's going to be a little bit of a transition for him. And if they don't come out with a hot start, I think it's tough to play catch-up. Like, they can win 9 games and win the division. I just wouldn't want to put my money on that. I do think they're closer to the pack than people think, though. I take the over at 7.5 wins, but I think it'll be close.
Someone has to win the AFC South. Is it just Houston again? Because we don't know what Indianapolis is going to be, or do you think Tennessee maybe gets a little frisky?
I think Tennessee gets a lot frisky. I like Tennessee a lot. I think Marcus Mariota is primed for a big year. That offensive line, you know, I think the one thing you want to see is, you know, in 2017, if you have a strong offensive line and they can stay healthy, you can be really consistent. And so, you know, maybe the Redskins are better than people think for that very reason. Tennessee has 2 workhorse backs in DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. You know, they added Corey Davis, who I think is going to have a nice year, even though he's sort of flying under the radar because of injury. Mariota's great. You have Delanie Walker there. Eric Decker they added too. I think this offense is going to be really fun to watch. You don't think about power run offenses as fun to watch, but Tennessee last year reminded me of the Panthers in 2015 in that they really do have all these formations that they operate out of, and it's just hard to play defense against them because they're constantly moving, and they have the different pieces to keep that going, and I think their defense gets a little bit better. I think Houston's got a really tough schedule. Jacksonville's going to stink because Bortles is there, and his backup is Henny. And then this is my gut feeling. I think Andrew Luck's going to play half a season or less.
Yeah.
Really?
I just don't think – I mean, like, he's got a – Chuck Pagano claims he hadn't seen him throwing. So either Chuck Pagano is just lying with the worst lie of all time, or he hasn't watched his quarterback throw and the season starts tomorrow. I mean, the other thing too is Chris Ballard and Andrew Luck have very, very different interests right now than Chuck Pagano. Andrew Luck wants to be healthy and be able to help his team. You know, and he wants to be out there, but he's got to get his shoulder right. Hadn't been right for 2 years. Chris Ballard is trying to he looks at this roster. They're not ready to compete for a Super Bowl right now. They're just not. The defense isn't good. They added some nice pieces, but the offensive line with Ryan Kelly hurt in there. They traded Dorsett. I think he's way more interested in making sure Andrew Luck is healthy than he is getting Andrew Luck back on the field right away.
Well, the best, man. Always appreciate it. Enjoy the start of the NFL season tomorrow. Cannot believe it's finally here. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
See Thank you, Will. One day away. Skin Stock Report next. Berries for Luga on Steven Strasburg setting a Nats record yesterday. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You know why there's a million advertisements? You know why there's a million different things? Late night television where you just sit down and strap some electrode to your stomach or some new, you know, dance craze. It was Tybo. Then it's this kind of hot yoga thing or whatever.
You don't remember the name of the guy who did Tybo.
Billy Blanks. Yep. Here's the thing. It's hard to lose those pounds. It is. It's hard to lose the most important weight right around your midsection. That's right next to where all your vital organs are. It leads to a lot of bad stuff. The toxic fat that's right in the middle of your body. It's called visceral fat. Grant and I have dropped our visceral fat levels a huge percentage thanks to EMP 180 weight loss. I am healthy as I have been since I was a freshman in college thanks to EMP 180.
Go to EMP180weightloss.com. Tell them you heard about Danny graduating after losing 40 pounds, me losing 70. I was a big fat guy who had a lot more to lose, so I still haven't graduated. But I'm still on that path toward being healthy. You can get on this same path. Call them up, 855-888-0180. 855-888-0180. They've changed our lives for the better. They will change yours as well.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.